And anyone that would look at it would be saved. That took a lot of faith. Took a lot of faith. There, Dr. Doyle, back here. Is any other nurse? Is there a nurse or another doctor in here? You know. Well, I took anatomy, so you and I are the experts. Dr. Doyle, in all your medical knowledge and all that they taught you at med school, would you recommend this, you know, based on what you were taught at med school, for a cure for snake bite from a poisonous snake? You take a brass serpent and put him on a pole, and all of you that have been bitten, look at it. I don't think they taught you that, did they? No, no, no. See, in other words, it is not approved medical practice. See, it's going to take faith to look up and trust this stupid statement that Moses made. That's a stupid statement. It flies in the face of all knowledge, all common sense. And it would be easy to be sitting there because you're hurting, you're in misery, snake bite is very painful. You're swelling, your skin is turning black. You're in agony. It is physical agony. And some idiot tells you, who you didn't want to follow in the first place, tells you, hey gang, I've fashioned a brass serpent and I've put him on a pole, and if you look, you'll be instantly healed. I'll tell you the attitude a lot of people would have. I may be dying, but I'm not a fool. I mean, it's one thing that I'm dying, but it's another thing, you know, just to be made to look like an absolute imbecile, and you die. Well, it takes real faith. You say, well, they didn't have anything to lose. Yes, they did. Their pride. You're going to have to shed a bunch of pride to admit that you were wrong and look up at that serpent and believe someone you have been given a hard time to all along. So yes, people got healed. Miriam got healed. The brass serpent healed huge multitudes of people. Now, and there were some wonderful healing promises. Now I want you to see some of those. Would you, you can lose your place in the Bible now and come on back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. I want to show you this. And I want to tell you something most of you probably are not aware of. Until Israel went down to Egypt and were made slaves in Egypt and became a part of the Egyptian culture, there is not one word in the Bible about anyone being sick, much less needing a healing, unless you want to call Abel having a serious headache. Okay, I know. No mention, Cal, you like that one. No mention. This is back in the back is an Italian prophet named Malachi. It's Malachi with an Italian pronunciation on it. Malachi. He told me that one day on a golf course, and I don't think I hit another good shot for three holes. Malachi. All right. Look at verse 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, now this is a promise coming out of Egypt, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on thee. Forget it. That promise isn't going to do me a bit of good. Did you read all those ifs? Anybody in here read? Tom? I don't want to claim that one. I'm going to try and find a better promise than that. If I will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, and I will do that which is right in his sight, not in your sight, his sight, that's tough, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all, can anyone see that word all, his statutes, then I'll put none of the diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm glad that he's the Lord that heals us, but man, that is a tough promise to claim. Nevertheless, it is a promise. Here God shows that he does care about physical maladies and healing. But I want you to see that he says, I brought these diseases on the Egyptians. You want to know why? All the witchcraft they were doing, which today, a lot of it we call modern medicine. Good grief. I can't believe that modern medicine has come to the point of Frankenstein. Chopping up bodies and hacking up pieces and sewing them into people here and sewing them into people there. I can't believe that we're into that. But we are. I want you to say, I knew that would shake a bunch of you up. They'll be shaken up. Take a look at chapter 23 of Exodus. Look at verse 25. It says, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. When you keep on reading, it gets lots more gooder. There shall nothing cast their young, in other words, no miscarriages, no barren in the land. Look at all these promises that God, you know, there's all kind of good promises that God has in here. Okay? Now, with all these promises, I want you to see something else. Take a look at Leviticus, which will be the next book. Chapter 19. See what God... In other words, let's see what it means Jesus was the same yesterday. Look at Leviticus 19:14. Now, and what I'm trying to tell you is, despite these promises, I want you to see that they had some sicknesses. Look at verse 14. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. Why put that verse in there if there aren't any deaf people or any blind people? Right? Good. I thought you'd see it. All right, take a look to chapter 21, verse here in Leviticus. Verse 18 and through 20. Whatsoever man, now this is talking about the priesthood. The priest. Whatsoever man he is that has a blemish, he shall not approach to the altar. Or a blind man, or a lame man, or anyone who has a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man who is broken-footed, broken-handed, crooked-backed, dwarf, has a blemish in the eye, scurvy, scabbed, has his stones broken, da-da-da-da. And the next verse goes on to tell you, any man who has a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, cannot come near to offer the offerings. All right, now look. So here in the old days, they had all these promises of healing. I won't put any of the plagues of Egypt on you. And yet we see that blindness, deafness, lameness, and other diseases were present there. Now, let's get one more while we're looking at that. Numbers chapter 5. Next book, Numbers chapter 5, to your right. Let's read verses 2 through 4. God says to Moses, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that has an issue and whoever is defiled by the dead. You say, what do you mean by issue? Well, when you go back and look at other scriptures that deal with that, in Leviticus chapter 13, I suppose I'll clean this up and say social issues, such as gonorrhea. All right? That would be one, they're social diseases, shall we say. Both male and female you put outside the camp so that you don't defile the camp in the midst when I dwell, and the children of Israel did so, and put them outside the camp. All right, now here we are with all these promises of healing, yet they got healed. Do you think they didn't claim the promises? They had them. Don't you figure they were going to the priest? Don't you figure they were claiming the promises? Of course they would. What am I getting at? That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we're asking the question, does that mean that Jesus always heals to the same extent and in the same way at all times? And what I'm trying to show you is 2,000 years ago, Jesus healed multitudes of people, including many lepers. But back here in the Old Testament, they had so many lepers, they had a problem, they had to tell them what to do with them. You put them outside the camp so that they all didn't get healed. I'm trying to show you something. Many of you believe, seduced, deceived into believing something that isn't true. And what you believe that's not true is that in Bible days, everyone got healed all the time, and today, what's wrong? And I'm trying to show you, no, they didn't. Yet, Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. So maybe we're trying to apply that verse in a way that it doesn't belong. We're maybe taking things out of context sometimes. Now, I want you to see this. Come to the New Testament with me, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 22. Jesus speaks and says to these disciples that John the Baptist sent, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers, plural, are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. All right, now here's Jesus healing multitudes of people, including many lepers. It says in Hebrews 13:8, he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And since we're in Luke, let's see what Dr. Luke says about yesterday. Turn back to chapter 4, and you'll see my point. Chapter 4, verse 27. Jesus asked the question, and rather is making the remark, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman, the Syrian. Well, now, wait a minute. According to Jesus himself, in the days of one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, 900 years before Christ, only one leper got healed. But wait a minute, I thought Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. He healed Naaman, the Syrian. See, let me go farther. It wasn't that God was not mindful of lepers in these days. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 6, it talks about four lepers, and they were having a famine, and they were under siege by the Syrians, and the lepers left the camp they had been left to try and come to the city to find some food. And of course, they couldn't get in the city. So they decided to go out to the Syrian camp because the Syrians had plenty of food. And they said, what the hey? We're about to starve to death anyway. If we stay where we are, we're going to starve to death. If we go to the Syrian camp, they may kill us, but at least that'll be quick. And on the other hand, we may get some food. Let's give it a try. When they got there, God had made a noise go through the trees to the point that the Syrians thought an enemy army had been hired, a bunch of mercenaries had been hired by the Israelis to come rescue them. They took off running, lickety-split, left everything behind, and these four lepers come into the camp, and here's tons of... So God blessed them. They walk into tons of food, gold and silver and horses and garments and clothing, everything's there. These four lepers are suddenly, they've got everything you could want. God did bless them, but didn't heal them. They were not healed. All right, so we're looking at, you know, wait a minute. I thought everybody got healed in the Bible. Yeah. We were reading Matthew when Jesus was here. And Jesus healed everyone. You say, but isn't Jesus here now? Yeah, he was there in the book of Acts too. And they didn't all get healed. He was there in the Gospels when the apostles didn't always pull it off. We're learning what it means that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One thing's for sure, we're learning, Larry, we're learning what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that every time in the Bible, everyone always got healed. Okay? Let me be brutal. I mean, I've come this far, why not? For time's sake, let me just remind you of some things you know. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says Epaphroditus got sick while serving the Lord, waiting on Paul while Paul was in prison. And he got sick unto death. He almost died from working for the Lord. You say, how could God let that happen? I'll tell you real quickly, and I want you to hear it. God gives principles in the Bible, and none of the principles can be violated without paying the price. Don't love your wife and see if that bed doesn't get real cold real fast. It'll hit you in a minute. This is a practical Bible study. God's got a lot to say in the Bible about rest. The Sabbath was never a day of worship, it was a day of rest. God gave the Jews many days off. Go back into Leviticus chapter 23 and read all the holidays the Jews got each year. And good grief, every seventh year they got off. How would you like to... Did any of you work for Texaco or anybody like that? They give you every seventh year they give you off, right? I mean, you never saw so many holidays. Every 49th year you got 2 years off back to back. Might even get to know the kids. Now listen to me. What I'm getting at is very simple. If you don't rest, if you get into the world, see, the world system wants you to live. I couldn't believe some preacher putting out that what God wanted was for us to live up to our full potential. No, that's world system garbage. What they're talking about to be our full potential hasn't got anything to do with what God wants. Now, God's much more concerned about us than that. He knows with our fallen natures, we need a lot of rest. He knows that we're dying and wearing out, that that's part of the curse. And so he tells us rest, and we keep MR, we keep driving ourselves. So what happens? Get 40, eyes go bad from reading late at night all the time to get ahead. Bleeding ulcers from fretting and worrying about trying to climb to the top. And on it goes. High blood pressure, no rest. Stress is the one that gets you. That's the one we can't deal with. Oh, I remember my old days. I used to say that lie too. I do better under pressure. Yeah, for a few minutes. Yeah, pressure would make me knuckle down for a short period of time. Let me tell you, nobody holds up to pressure for long. Let the pressure stay and you start making serious mistakes. I'm going to tell you, one of the most valuable things I learned in the oil business. I would go out of town on business. And I would work hard and come back after a big trip, maybe go over a few time zones, and come back exhausted and sleepy and feel obligated to head right straight to the office and be there at 8 sharp tomorrow. Let me tell you about big companies. They didn't care that I was sleepy and tired. When they called me into that conference room, they expected me to give them precise, exact answers. And if I didn't, I could lose my job, and I was in no condition. You know what I started doing? I realized my job was in jeopardy. And when I was exhausted and I'd been gone, I didn't even go in. The company wasn't going to die without me. There were other technical people they could ask these questions of, and if they needed, they could ask me on the phone. I slept so that when I went to the office, I was at my best. No, listen, companies don't want an excuse. They just expect right answers. I'd put in my hours. And I remember when I decided that's the way it was going to be. And I did it. I hope you don't lose your job over that one. The point I'm getting at is that when, listen, Epaphroditus was working, but and that's good, he was doing a good work, but still there's time to rest. I can remember hearing a very famous Baptist evangelist right here in town say, he wanted to wear out rather than rust out. I'm going to work myself to nothing. Yeah, I saw him collapse when he was about 43. Just totally collapsed. I mean, I didn't hear from him for months and months and months. He was rehabilitating. His health was zero. You see, it would have been a lot better. And let me tell you what happens. Let me tell you the worst that happens to us preachers. We get so exhausted and tired, we don't care. I mean, you're coming up and telling us, you know, it's just the same principle of going to the office when you've been working day and night on an overseas assignment, job, and you come back over 8 time zones and you're exhausted, and the boss comes up and asks you a question. You don't care. And you come up and say, my mother is dying, and I've got to try and work up a care. When the truth is, I just want to go to bed. Would you get out of the way? You know, so you think, well, that's just not spiritual. No, and that's the danger that we run in. That's why we have to stop or we get that way. We get so exhausted, we don't care. And what we have to do is make sure we don't get that way. How can we do it? We stay away from you guys. We run. We hide. Listen. There are times when it happens to us. Let me tell you, I know what's going to happen if I stay. I know what's going to happen. Listen, I've literally, at least 4 or 5 times, I've opened my front door with someone asleep right on my foot, right on the doorstep there, waiting for me to get up. It was 5:30 in the morning. I opened up the door. So there's times when I get that way, I run. I leave town, you're not going to find me. There is no one with a forwarding address. So that when I do come back and see you, and you tell me your mother's dying, I care. I am ready for the battle. You hear what I'm saying? And if some of you don't understand it, it's because you just haven't been in this kind of battle for long. So Epaphroditus got worn out ministering. But you see, the point is, even ministers have to obey God's admonitions about rest. And so do you. Elisha died sick in 2 Kings 13. What a downer. His teacher went up in a fiery chariot in a whirlwind to heaven. Didn't even die. How many of you know what a guilt trip Satan could really have put on old Elisha? Boy, God must be mad at you. What a disappointment you've been to him. Remember Elijah? You know, you were there. Remember when that fiery chariot separated the two of you? He hopped in and whoosh, right up in that whirlwind up he went to heaven. Didn't even feel the sting of death. And here you are. You're not just dying in your sleep. You're sick and dying. And the Tulsa boys are going to really talk bad about you. Because you got no faith. Gave the greatest prophecy of his entire ministry on his deathbed. So full of the Spirit of God that after he died, a dead man was thrown on his bones and the dead man came back to life. I would say he had not lost it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. Paul says, I left Trophimus at Miletus sick. I left him there. Paul was with him. Paul couldn't get him healed. I'm trying to teach you what it means that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not mean that every time we claim to be healed or try to claim healing, that verse means, well, since Jesus, I'm trying to show you that yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus didn't heal everybody all the time except those that came to him personally when he was here in the flesh. Let me be a little different about it. Why did Paul urge Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach if the modern charismatic Tulsa teachings on claiming your healing from the atonement would be true? In other words, why didn't Paul say, well, Timothy, as you know, healing is in the atonement, just claim your healing? He said, take some Dr. Tishner's antiseptic. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. See, why doesn't James, in the book of James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, why didn't James say, are there any sick among you? Claim your healing based on the atonement. Why did he say, send for the elders and let the elders anoint you and pray? Because he knew what the Tulsa boys don't seem to know. That it was not a guarantee from the atonement. Now, understand it. Everything good that we're ever going to get is wrapped up in the atonement in the ultimate sense. Not only healing, your salvation, your new body, everything good. Sin had to be totally, in every aspect of it, every root of it had to be dealt with in the atonement. Anything you ever get from God other than hell is because of the atonement. There would be no reason for God to even extend grace to the lost if he hadn't foreknown about the atonement. There would be nothing left but judgment without the plan of redemption, which includes the atonement. I want to remind you that, see, Job, look how long it was before God healed Job, the best man on the planet. That was yesterday. Today was when Paul was there. And forever, that would include now. So we're seeing that when we really look at the whole Bible, multitudes got healed and multitudes didn't. Front to cover. I want to go one step farther about it. We have not one single written record where Jesus ever prayed for the sick. He healed by command or touch. even sometimes when people just reached out and touched him. I'm trying to emphasize now the difference between Jesus and us. Yet in James chapter 5, he tells us to anoint and pray, and in other scriptures to lay hands on and pray for the sick. We are told to pray for the sick. Jesus never did it. He commanded. He had the Spirit without measure. We don't. So if you hadn't got the Spirit without measure, then you better find a different way to do it than just saying, well, there's Jesus, I'll just do it like Jesus did. Great. He always knew what the Father wanted. See, we're facing the issue squarely is, well, does God want everyone healed? See, now you got to go through that thing. Are you speaking ultimately or since sin came into the world? You know, since we sinned, no. But ultimately, yes. See, he didn't want Adam to sin. He didn't want us to ever get sick. He didn't want us to die. He foreknew that when he gave man a free will, these things would happen. And in his wisdom, it was worth it. All right? For God to accomplish the purposes that he has. And let me make sure you understand. God didn't make us because he was lonely and needed company. God has no needs. He knew how good it would be for us. So what we're saying is just because we believe in divine healing, we don't have to accept some kind of extremism. See, perfect health would imply no decay and no aging. And you know that just isn't true. Now let's take a look at Romans, which will explain this scripturally to us very clearly. Romans 8:18. For I reckon, Paul was from North Mississippi. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. Nevertheless, even though that is a 100% true scripture, Paul says that the present time, the today part, there were sufferings. And he says the problem is that the glory is future. So that's what's the trouble with charismatic teaching. There's so much bad teaching in the charismatic move that many specific groups of them almost become little cults. Some of them are. Shepherdship movement down in Florida became a cult. There's no question of that. And there's some others. And in the past it were. Manifest Sons of God were. There's a bunch of them. It's just a horror. Because the hand of God has been there. And we've screwed it up pretty badly.